Yesterday we discussed various aspects of the mitzvah of hafrasha. Tosa cites the Gemara that tells us in a case of gozal chitin, tachana afa hifish menochala inzim avarach elaminaitz, hozenam rabosea berach nietz Hashem. According to the Ri, Tosas points out that even though mitzvah babi aver is pakal achar kinyan, still it's inappropriate lahaskir shem shamayim alav, and therefore no bracha can be recited. And what about according to the shita of Rabbeinu Tam? So very simply one could argue that according to Rabbeinu Tam, even he would admit that this is considered to be a case of shini maisa, where in that instance that mitzvah babi aver is certainly pakal, and if not for that separate halacha uvotzea berach, one would assume that the bracha could in fact be recited. Even if one would argue that mitzvah b'ever continues la'achar kinyan, and even la'achar shini maisa, one perhaps could understand that yet a bracha could be recited in this particular case of hafrasha, and therefore of the need for the chiddush Rabbi Elazar, the separate gzeiras hakasuv. Because even if one would assume that mitzvah b'avera ain't a mitzvah, what exactly would that mean? One is not mekayim the mitzvah hafrasha, we discussed at length, whether in fact there is an independent key mitzvah hafrasha. But one would argue that the act of hafrasha is considered to be absolutely nothing. It doesn't result in tikkun hakri, it's not mafgil l'shem tevel. Perhaps certainly that is not the case. Even if one should argue mitzvah babi avera, the cheftza certainly is considered to be mesukan. And if that is true, that's very different from our cases, very different from a case of karban, or a case of lulav, or a case of sukkah, where obviously, if there is no kiyum hamitzvah, one cannot recite a bracha. But if there is a chalos hafrasha, perhaps that would warrant the possibility of bracha. Especially bearing in mind that perhaps the nature of the bracha and hafrasha generally is not a bracha on kiyum hamitzvah, but rather it's a bracha on chalos hamitzvah. And therefore, one could argue, alib de kuli alma, even if one should maintain the extreme shita, that mitzvah babi avera continues even lachar kinyan, and even lachar shini maisa, in such an instance, you require a separate memra in order to tell us that a bracha is not recited. With this in mind, the two halachos of hafrasha and tikkun isa, we pointed out that this can be utilized to address the issue of shagas aryeh, because the Rosh comments in Sachim and Beis Yilches, that since there is a drasha of matzah schem, so therefore one is not yotze with matzah gzula. And the Shagasari is bothered by the very simple kasha. The whole source of lachem when it comes to matzah is not a gzeres hakosav in matzah, but rather it's a gzeres shav of reishis arisa seichem from challah. What is true of challah, one could argue, is also true when it comes to matzah. What is the halacha when it comes to an isa which is stolen? Is it in fact the case that there is no chiyuv whatsoever of hafrasha? And therefore one could argue what is true of challah is also true of matzah. The Shagasari points out that certainly is not the case. When it comes to challah, even shel gezel is chayiv b'challah. So therefore, how could one argue that there is a halacha of matzah schem that goes above and beyond the very source of challah? If you're telling me lachem is necessary, mi dina de gemara, p'sachim lamed ches, to tell us ma'isr sheni, something where there's a hafka, there's no din bailim, then I understand. Isa shel ma'isr sheni is exempt from hafrasha, and so to one could argue, you're not yotze with matzah shel ma'isr sheni. But if you're telling me, according to the Rosh, there's halacha in gavra, lachem meaning yours as opposed to shel acherim, shel gezel, so in such a case, how can that be that that is true when it comes to matzah and not true when it comes to hafrasha? That's the tzarachion of Shagas Aryeh. Perhaps according to these two halachos, one can answer very simply. Is it really true that there is a full kiyum hafrasha when you're dealing with an isa gzula? One could argue as follows. Since there is halach of lachem, there is no kiyum mitzvah hafrasha. But isn't the Shagas Aryeh right that there's nisr tevel and one is obligated to be mafrish? That is absolutely true. If a person will go ahead and steal challah or steal nisa, certainly there is a kiyum hafrasha. Why? Because there is an isser of tevel. But even one who is mafrish, despite the fact that it results in tikkun ha'isa, there is no mitzvah hafrasha. And therefore you have your model when it comes to challah, that there's no mitzvah safrash unless it is considered to be ariso seichem. That you can extend to matzah, not aloch in cheftza, but aloch in kiyum mitzvah sagavra, that is true even when it comes to that case as well. So these two halachos perhaps would be helpful even in that instance as well. Again, we discussed according to the shita of the Ri, in that instance that mitzvah babi aver is paka la'achar kinyan, only if the kinyan is bab be'echad, with the kinyanei gneva, kinyanei gzeh, that would not be allowed. And Rabbeinu Tam assumes that that certainly is not the case. What is the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam? One could explain in two possible ways. One is we discussed that according to Rabbeinu Tam, literally, dinal kebalmum, that it's a psul chefza, and perhaps one could argue, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that psul chefza is not paka, lachar kinyan. Just as the Gemara entertained in Sukkah daf lamed gimel, yesh dicho yetzal mitzvos, that if you have a hadas which is posel, it can no longer be used the mitzvah, even if it's only because it's kotum, its top was cut off, and also lo tamra, and now it is no longer cut, but nonetheless, once there was chal eshem psul, that psul remains. It's a separate gzeiras hakosuv. The Gemara assumes that allows a mum over. Without a posuv, we would assume that once it had a mum, the mum would remain, even if somehow that mum disappears. The Gemara says that's the sugya of dichui eitzel mitzvos. Perhaps Rabbeinu Tam assumes that that is true of mitzvah babi avera, acknowledging that there was a psul, that psul chepze would remain, even the achar kinyan. Or perhaps one could argue Rabbeinu Tam would address mitzvah babi avera not in terms of chefze. If it's lach and chefze, perhaps that's paka lachar kinyan, as the Ri would maintain. After all, because lachar kinyan, the halacha of gezel relates to gavra, but not to chefze. There's no mitzvah hashava on this particular chefetz. If that's true, how does Rabbeinu Tam then maintain that mitzvah babi avera survives kinyan? Maybe very simply, as the Tosa said in Sukkah daf lamed. When do we assume mitzvah babi avera? What's the difference between avodah zarah as opposed to gezel? Rabbeinu Tam said very simply, or Tosus argues that machmas avera baha mitzvah. Mitzvah babi avera means that without the malachis avera, in such a case, you could not have performed the mitzvah. That's not true when it comes to avodah zarah. That is true when it comes to the case of gezel. So let's assume, for example, there is a kinyan, there is some type of shinui, but nonetheless, that relationship, that causality of machmas avera, baha mitzvah, still exists. Without the avera of gezel, you could not have fulfilled the mitzvah of dalet minim. So in such a case, even if there is some form of shinui or some kinyan, nonetheless, mitzvah babi avera would still apply in those particular instances. The difficulty now that the Marsha raises in our sugya, as we mentioned, is if in fact our Gemara tells us when it comes to bracha, Lahazkir Shem Shamayim Roy Lahachmer Yoser, and therefore even if you argue that you are Kohen and there's no longer mitzvah babi avera, Ein Zemivarech Elamina Aids. So therefore the Marsha is very bothered again by that sugyan sukkah and daf lamed. Because the Gemara discusses the memor of Rav Huna regarding Hanhu Avonkari. You have merchants, and they are purchasing hadassin. They would often purchase it from a guy. And there is a difficulty, because perhaps they did not legitimately acquire that karka, those hadassin, in which case we are dealing with gezel. So therefore, Rav Huna just said a very simple issue, and that is, let's see to it that there is a shina rishus. Yeush, of course, there is. But let's assume that there is a shin rishus. So therefore, you should not be the one to do the ktsitsa, but rather have the guy to it, and he will give it to you, and there is yeyushan shin rishus. After all, the Gemara even suggests that what do you even need that for? Even if you will do the act of ktsitsa, but you're a broker, you're the mocher, the vankari, you're going to give it to someone else, isn't that yeyushan shin rishus as well? The Gemara says it's true. However, this way the Yeush and Shin Rishus will already occur. Even you, the Mocher, could use this for your mitzvah. The Lokeach can certainly use it. That definitely is Yeush and Shin Rishus. But if the Avankri will go ahead and cut, in such a case you could use that as well. And then the Gemara says, why is all that necessary? Isn't there also a Shini Maisa? Because Lulav Tzarech Eged, the Gemara says no. Eged is not considered to be a full Shini Maisa. Isn't there a Shini Hashem? After all, Asa to Hoshana, the Gemara says that no, Meikara Nama Hoshani Karile, and therefore this is not considered to be a Shini Hashem as well. So, a very simple issue. And let's assume that yes, there is a Shini Hashem, there is a Shini Maisa, but still, if you're going to utilize it for the purpose of a mitzvah, aren't you interested in reciting a bracha as well? And our Tosus just maintained that even Lachar Kinyan, the Inyan Lahaskir Shem Shamayim Alav Rei Lahachmer Yoser. You can't recite a bracha. So how does that help? When you look in the Marsha raises this question in the following sense. The Marsha says, when it comes to that sugya in Sukkah and Daf Lamed, how can the Gemara ask, Likninhu B'Shinui Hashem? Shini Hashem is not going to help? After all, you're not going to be able to recite a bracha. So the Marsha answers that eino chinami, that is true. The Gemara's havamin liknino b'shin Hashem is hainu le'inyan kiyum hamitzvah. The Gemara was just simply addressing how you can fulfill the mitzvah. But eino chinami, one would not go ahead and recite a bracha. The assumption of Marsha is a chiddush in the following sense, that apparently there's a difference between shin reshus as opposed to shin Hashem. After all, the Marsha did not ask, how could Rav Huna give you such an etza of yeyush and shin reshus? What about bracha? The Marsha's kasha is the Gemara on Lamed Amud Beis, which suggests like ninhu b'shini Hashem. How could the Gemara suggest that? After all, you're not going to be able to recite the bracha. And the answer is eino chinami. That suggestion is only good in terms of the kiyum mitzvah. And as we started to discuss yesterday, you look in Shar HaMelech, Chosulav, Peraches HaLachates, in the very end of that halacha, the Shalom HaMelech writes, if the Marsha is correct, then what was the Gemara's kasha? Why did Rav Huna insist on a Shini Rishus? Isn't there automatically a Shini Hashem? Well, if the Marsha is correct, isn't there an obvious teretz that the Shini Rishus will help even the Gavei Bracha? The Shini Hashem will not. Okay, perhaps Eino Chinami. The Gemara answers, the question doesn't begin because this is not called the Shini Hashem. But perhaps, even if you assume that it is a Shini Hashem, maybe there would be a marked difference between them. The Shar HaMelech assumes that that's a difficult assumption to argue that there's a difference between Shini Hashem as opposed to Shini Rishus, and that the Havamin of the Gemara Likninu v'Shini Hashem is only as far as the Kiyum Mitzvah is concerned, but still you would not be able to recite the Bracha. And if that's true, what was Rav Huna suggesting? Yeyush and Shini Rishus? Why would that be the case? So the Shar HaMelech just simply argues, as we saw in the other Rishonim regarding the Mitzvah above every issue itself, and that is, there is no Aveira necessarily at all in this particular case. We saw that Rabbi Tam in Sefer Yasha. If Rabbi Tam assumes that Mitzvah above every extends Lachar Kinyan, what does he do with the Sugya of Ankari? So one possibility is Rabbi Tam only maintained his Kiddush when it comes to Yeyush. He did not say it when it comes to Shin Rishus, or when it comes to Shin Amais, or when it comes to Shin Hashem. In such a case, Avankri is not a problem. The other possibility was the Balamor, that Avankri denies Mitzvah Baba Veira, of Nachum Yitzchak, of Yitzchak Bar Nachmeini. And the Kiddush is that they deny it even on a Mitzvah Daraisa, not only on Atila Saluch and Shar Yomim, which is only a Zeich HaMikdash. Or the third possibility was the Rabbeinu Tam, that you're not dealing with Vaday Gezel. The whole Sugi is just a Chshash Ba'alma. Therefore, Rav Huna said the following: Lo yitzuya, there's a possibility of gezel. We don't know how the goy secured this, so it's a safety measure. The Rav Chedemilsa, let's see to it that there's a shini reshus, and therefore, right, there's no suffix involved whatsoever. In fact, if you deny that, you know, again, that sugi would be very striking. If this was really shel gezel, really shel gezel, so therefore the answer would be, so just have the goy cut, and therefore we'll be okay. Or the answer is what? The Gemara says, Shini Meiser, Shini Hashem. What do you mean Shini Meiser and Shini Hashem? That's mutter. If there really is Gezel, and there is Yeyush, but Yeyush Kri Lo Kanis, in such a case, so therefore my recommendation is Shini Meiser. I would recommend a Shini Hashem. What's the Gemara's Havamina? Unless you're going to assume that no, it's a Chashash Racho, that there is such a case. That's what the Shar HaMelech writes, Legabe Bracha. You're dealing with the case that Artosus quotes, the Sugi Nefesani Dalet, Haresha Gozal, So Shel Chitin, Vaday Gezel. That's a problem. That even if technically you're Kone, still, it is inappropriate, Lahazker Shem Shemayim Alav. Here you're dealing simply with a Safe Gezel, and therefore there is no Chumra, Lahachmir Lagabe Bracha. Because after all, we don't even know that there is any aver of Geza whatsoever, and the Shar HaMelech assumes that certainly there's no difference between any of these particular cases. The Magen Avraham, however, is troubled by the following. The Magen Avraham is in Tafresh Mem Tes, Siv Katan Beis, because the Mechaber says the following. Let's assume, for example, you're dealing with Shel Gezel. So the Mechaber writes that Kol Arba Haminim Psulim BeGezel, and that's true whether it's Lifnei Yeyush, whether it's La'achar Yeyush. But the Mechaber writes, let's assume the following. There was a real kinyan. The Mechaber's case is Shini Maisa, extreme case. You go ahead and you stole a branch, and you fixed it into a lulav. Gozel lulav v'shifu. You stole lulav and you smoothed it out, and you saw to it that now it can be used, and it's a shinui maisa. So the mechaber writes, certainly, you don't say because you are kona b'shinui maisa. However, the mechaber adds the following, umihu lo yivarech alav. However, no bracha should be recited. That's the extreme case in the mechaber. Umihu lo yivarech alav. Again, the mechaber is here with the case of vaday gezel. But gezel, even la'achar shini maisa, a bracha cannot be recited at all. So the Magen Aram is bothered, but sarach iyan. Dimkein, my parak gabi avankari, v'likna b'shini Hashem. So what was the suggestion of the Gemara? Of shini Hashem. Good, so you'll have a shini Hashem. But al kopanim, lo yir Hashem levarach alav. And that diuk we pointed out in the Marsha, that the Marsha only asked the kash l'gnino b'shini Hashem, but not shini Rishus, that's explicit in the Magen Avram. Because the Magen Avram writes the following. How does the Gemara suggest that you should be kona with the shini Hashem? You won't be able to make a bracha. The Magen Avram adds the following line. Avo kisha'akom kotzitzo. But if the guy will go ahead and cut it, v'shai l'varech, kevin shehu lo gazal. That's also chiddush. In other words, what is the Magen Avram doing? That Rav Huna's Eitzah, of course, is a good Eitzah. Because if you have Yeyush and Shini Rishus in such a case, then you can certainly recite the bracha. Because the whole Chumrah that Tosus writes, that it's inappropriate, Lahazkir Shem Shemayim, Roy Lahachmer Yoser, that's Kol's man that you were the one who stole. But if you were not the one who stole, there was a Shini Rishus, in such a case, then, Kevin Shuhulo Gozal, in such a case, one can go ahead and recite a bracha. But when the Gemara asks the Gnino Vishini Hashem, that means the Ganav, the Gazlan himself, should be Kona Vishini Hashem. Well, how can that work? No, isn't that a problem? Lahaskir Shem Shemaim Alav. So, the Magen Avraham just writes, Ve'efsher Dahasam Shini Hashem V'yeyush Odif Tvei. Maybe that is even considered to be greater. Shini Hashem is considered even to be greater as well. And the Magen Avraham writes, Bitzarachim. What exactly does that mean? That Shini Hashem surpasses? Surpasses what? Surpasses the Mechaber's case. The Mechaber writes, if you steal something and you perform a Shini Maisa, Lo Yivarech Alav. What do you do with the Gemara's Kasha of Shini Hashem? The answer is, Efshir Dahasam Shini Hashem V'yeyush Adiv Tvei. So what exactly does that mean? So the Magen Avraham writes the following. If there's a Shini Maisa, then you cannot recite a bracha. And if there is Shini Rishus, then you definitely can recite a bracha. That's Rav Huna. And if there's a Shini Hashem, that's the Magen Avraham Safek. How can that be? The old Rabbah writes, he said, cut and bays, isn't that very difficult? He cites this Magen Avraham and writes, how can it be? Right, that Shini Maisa no, and Shini Hashem yes. And furthermore, that very sugya that the Magen Avraham was troubled by, the Gemara asked the kasha, v'liknenu b'shini maisa. That's the kasha the Gemara uses. The Gemara answers that eged is not called a shini, because what do you mean? You can simply undo that eged. It's chos l'briyaso. But even if you assume it was a shinui, and therefore what? Therefore you can't make a bracha. Again, one could argue, as the Shar HaMelech writes, and therefore it's no kasha whatsoever. The Mechaber's case is dealing with vada gezel. Vada gezel. So the Mechaber assumes if something is vada gezel, even la'achar shinui, still ein aroi levarech. Something that you secured be'avera, something that's related to avera, and that you cannot recite a bracha, even if technically speaking you were kona. What do you do with the whole sugya? The whole sugya is only in cases of safek. And therefore, there's no stira. That the Mechaber writes no, and the Gemara seems to say yes, because you're just dealing with the case of safek gezel, as the Shar HaMelech writes in general. But the Magen Avraham is not assuming that way within the Mechaber. So therefore, is it really true that there's such a distinction? That we've always assumed the Shini Maisa towers over everything. No, it's a chayfetz acher. Then you can have certain kinyanim al pidin. But to assume as the Gemara writes that Shini Rishus is good and otherwise it is not. So this is what troubles the Machzis HaShekel. The Machzis HaShekel writes that the Havana Pshut of the Magen Avraham is the distinction between Shini Hashem as opposed to Shini Maisa. that Shini Amai say you cannot recite a bracha, and Shini Hashem you can recite a bracha. The Master points out that seems very, very difficult. But then he writes he doesn't think that that's pshat in the Magen Avraham. It's not that the Magen Avraham is distinguishing between Shini Amai as opposed to Shini Hashem. The Magen Avraham just points out the following, that in all of those cases in the Sugi and Sukkah, there was Yeyush. There was Yeyush. The Magen Avraham writes, "V'efshe dehasam shini Hashem v'yeyush adiv tvei." In a case of shini ma'isa, there is no yeyush. In such a case, the bal hachefetz, the nigzal, right, is still maintaining his din bailin. Now, in such an instance, that's when the mechaber writes, "Lo yivarech alav." Even if technically speaking, you were konen. However, the advantage of that sugya in Sukkah is that clearly there was Yeyush. And therefore, if there is Yeyush coupled with Shinui, so in such a case, then perhaps we don't apply, right, the concern, right, of the Sugya then, of Tzali Dalit, of Ahaz Kishem Shemayim Alam. That's what the Master Shekel writes. See, either one has to assume as Magen Avraham it's accompanied by Yeyush, or one should assume as the Shar HaMelech that it's a case of Safe Gezel, and therefore there's no Chumr L'Chadchila, right, regarding areas of bracha. And what we just mentioned, the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam comments that la'achar kinyan there is still mitzvah babi aveira, and the question is that only when it comes to yeyush? Would that even apply when it comes to other cases as well? A shini meister, a shini hashem? Here, just the small tosis and daf samach zayinu adays, the Ramah still that af, tosis is bothered by the following. The Gemara says that gozel dumi de piseach. And just like Pisach Lesley Takanta, Av Gozel Lesley Takanta. Is that really true? That something is Shel Gezel Lesley Takanta? What do you mean Lesley Takanta? Tosis is bad. The Gemara said earlier, Av Samachem and Beis, that Gonav Tlev Nasa Ayel, Nasa Shinibi Adobakno. Of course you can have Shinui. Literally Lesley Takanta. So Tosus argues, no, as is, lest they takanta. As is. Tosus says, Yeshlama, right, mikomakom, kemoshehu, lest they takanta. When the Gemara uses that phrase, lest they takanta, it doesn't mean categorically. It means in its current state, lest they takanta. But in Achinami, one could envision absolute shinui, gone up to have nasai, although we wouldn't assume that that's true. So Pnei Yeshua just has the port in Ha'ara. Whose sheet is this Tosus following? The Ri or even Rabbeinu Tam? According to the Ri, of course it's true. As is, there's a problem, mitzvah bavi aveira. But if it changes, so of course there's no problem, mitzvah bavi aveira. But then how would you answer this kasha according to Rabbeinu Tam? How does the Gemara say that this in fact is true? Lest they takanta. Right? After all, the Gemara says, Gana Tlev Nasayel Nasa Shini Bedev Akno. Alright, maybe one would argue, Enoch Niname, you're Kone, but still the problem Mitzvah Bavera continues. And here the Pnei Yeshua suggests, no, that of course Rabbi Natam is Moda, in a case of Gana Tlev Nasayel. Rabbi Natam only made his statement when it comes to cases of Yeyush. However, when it comes to an absolute Kinyan, so la'achar kinyan, in terms of shini Hashem or shini ma'isa, Rabbeinu Tam would admit that mitzvah baver is paka. And the Pnei Yeshua goes a step further and suggests that the basis of this is the parsha of Esnan Zalna, the drasha that we had earlier. Heim velo shini yehem. Heim velo shini yehem. You have something which is delabeled as Dimei Esnan, and it's puzzle, cannot be used lahakrava, but heim below shini yehem. If shini is kona, now it can be used. Rabbi Natam disagrees with that. Rabbi Natam assumes since it was puzzle, the psul remains. That's the drush of the Gemara of Samachem and Beis. Now, it's true that Esnan Zona is in fact different. Here we're dealing with mitzvah haba be'avera, where the object is labeled as a cheftza disura, machmas ha'avera. Technically speaking, that's not the case in Esnan Zona. Right there, the Gemara assumes that Esnan is Mos Lagavoa, but not necessarily because of the Chomer Ha'avera. You know, in the extreme cases of Ba'alimo, Inochinami, it's Nisra Varayos. But Esnan Zona is not identical with the halacha of Mitzvah Habavi Avera. But the Pnei Yeshua suggests that just as you see that something is Posel LaHakrava, in the Achar Shinu it is Kosher, Rabbi Tam will certainly admit that that is true even when it comes to Mitzvah Babi Avera, and therefore Rabbi Tam never suggested his Chiddush at all. And therefore Rabbi Tam also will agree to this interpretation of Gozel Lesley Takanta Kimoshehu, as is. Rabbi Tam just maintains that if there's Yeush, that is still called Kimoshehu. But if there's a Shini and Cheftza, that certainly would not apply in those particular cases. Okay. Now the Gemara on Samach Zayin Amud Beis refers you back to the Mishnah that tells us that Ein HaGanav Apar HaGanav Mishamnin Tashlumei Kefel, that the Ganav Sheni is not Chayiv, right, to pay Kefel. And Rav has the following statement, again linking into our issue regarding Yeush. Rav says that the following, that Loshna Ella Lifne Yeush, but La'achar Yeush, what do you mean? La'achar Yeush, the Ganav Rishon is Kone, in which case, why should there be a Ptur Kefil? The Ganav Sheni is obligated to pay Kefil, not the Balam HaRishonim, but the Ganav Sheni is obligated to pay Kefil to the Ganav HaRishon. And therefore the Gemara says that you see that Rav maintains, as we discussed earlier, the Machlokas Samaraim, that Yeush is Kona even when it comes to Gneva and Zema. Hershatius raises the following Kasha. Why is it that you're chayiv dalad vehei? Rabbi Yekiva says that one is chayiv dalad vehei mipnei shenishtaresh bechet. Because somehow nishtaresh bechet, Rashi writes the following, nischazek bechet, that the original avera is intensified, it takes hold, it takes root, nishtaresh bechet, and va'an humasa, and something is accomplished through the additional avera. In addition to the initial gneva, but al yedei tvichu umachira, ahanu maso. So Sheshis is bothered by the following. If it's lifne yeush, so in such a case, lo nishtarish bechet. If it's la'achar yeush, Rav, you just said that yeush is kone. So what would the case of dalad vehe be? If there was no yeush, umachira is nothing. And if there is yeush and yeush is kone, you should be potter from dalad vehe. So therefore, how do you understand the fact that you're chayiv dalad vehe because you have furthered the act of gneva? Up until now, it was just eno b'rishusa de bala chayfetz. And as a result of tava chomachar, now it's even eno shalo. That's not true. So the Gemara answers, no, kidrava, very great chiddush, the Rava says that no, really it's talking about kodem yeyush. And you argue that kodem yeyush you attempted, but you didn't accomplish lo ahanu maso. Ein achinami, Rava says we don't require nishtarish bechet, but rather shana bechet, the attempt to further the geza. As Rashi points out, that afo pi de lo ahanu maso, even with that alone, you are considered to be a machayim. So even if that is not the case, nonetheless, the mere attempt, right, that itself is a reason to be chayiv dalad vehei. The Gemara then continues and says the following chiddush. Even though this is true, that you don't require fully ahanamasav, so you don't necessarily require a mechira that fully takes hold, but nonetheless, if hikna l'shloshim yom, in such a case, you are potter. Why is that true? I understand if you'll argue you need a full mechira, so therefore, a mechira lezman kotzuv is not considered to be mechira at all. But if all you require is something which is shana bechet, a mere attempt, lahotzi asachefetz min habaylin, in such a case, why should you be potter? No, the Gemara says that no, prat lehikna l'shloshim yom. Apparently, that is not even considered to be an attempted mechira. Why exactly is that true? So Rashi, Darvaskel Prat, writes a very great chiddush. After all, because in this case, where the mechira was a limited one, just the zman kotzuv, just the shloshim yom, Rashi writes, lo machir lo ganav lokeach ela lasos b'malacha. It wasn't really a full mechira at all. It was just allowing the animal to be used for the purpose of malacha. And Rashi adds, Dehu kisfirus ba'alma, and therefore this mechira lizman is comparable to schirus. And there's no chiyuv dalet v'hei on schirus, require mechira. And therefore, if it's a case of hikna l'shloshim yom, in such an instance, that is dino kisfirus. Great chiddush that Rashi points out. Poshim shat, it would appear that this is against what the Rambam writes explicitly. Because the Rambam in Perachav Gimel of Hilchos Mechira explains what is the significance of a Mechira Lizman. The Rambam writes the following in Perachav Gimel Al-Chahay, that HaMocher Guf HaKarka Lizman Kotsu, if you sell something for a limited window of time, HaRezu Mechura, the Mechira is considered to be a legitimate one. And U'mishtamish Lokech B'Guf HaChefetz, you're allowed to go ahead and use it, and Ochel Peros, and Ulevasov, when the time ends, then tafsir l'ba'alel. That's the Ramah halacha hay. Halacha vav, the Ramah continues and says the following. And what is the difference between this, a mechir l'zman, as opposed to makna osa l'perosea, as opposed to a kinyan peros? Uma hefresh yesh ben hamocher karka l'zman kotzu, uven hamakna osa l'perosea. The Rambam writes the following. Shehakona l'peros, you can't alter the landscape if you're leasing land. And vlo yivna vlo yaharos, you can't build, you can't destroy. Aval hakona lizman kotsu, harehu bone ohores, v'osa b'chol zmano hakotsu, kamosha osa kona kinyan olam la'olam. Whatever one would be entitled to do if you buy it outright, that you can do for the window of time that you have purchased it. The Rambam writes, Bona v'horeis. You can build, you can destroy. Here Rashi writes that if you have something which is a kinyan lizman, that is considered to be sfirus ba'alma. Hoshav shat, it would appear that Rashi and the Rambam are disagreeing in terms of how one understands a kinyan lizman. Is it simply kisfirus? Or do we assume, as the Rambam writes, no, bona v'horeis, whatever you can do, if it is absolutely yours, he can do during that window of time. Excel, however, is bothered by the following difficulty. If you look in the Mechaber, Choshen Mishpat, Shin Mem Vav, Sif Yud Ches, the Mechaber writes the following, Lokeach Behem L'Shloshim Yom, similar to our case of the Gemara. You purchase an animal for a 3-day period, the Mechaber writes that Shomer Chinam Alehem. You have the status of a Shomer Chinam. Tosfos points out in Sif Katan Hey, this is a Tosfos, and Bav Metzia, Dav Tzadi, Vav Mabez, Dermasko Bav. The person is Kona Lizman, Dino Kishomer Chinam. Nachor, it would appear that you have 3 Shitas. Rashi writes, that's comparable to Schiros. Socher is Dino Kishomer Socher. Here Tosus writes, the Mechaber quotes, Lokeach Behem L'Shloshim Yom is Dino Kishomer Chinon. You're only Chayev for Pshia. But Tosus points out, according to the Rambam, would appear a different sheet entirely. Bone of Ahoreis. Doesn't Bone of Ahoreis mean Afilu Mazik B'Yadayim? Even if you destroy it, you're Potter. That means there's no chiyuv shmira whatsoever. According to the Rambam, it's an absolute kinyan, and it must revert back. But there isn't a chiyuv shmira necessarily at all. Apilu mazik b'yadayim. And certainly, if bona v'horeis, you be putter from cases of shia. Ksos points out, however, if this is true, then you're faced with the following difficulty, and the Ksos leaves us as a tzarachiyum. That the Mechaber, earlier, in Reish Yud Beis, Sif Dalet, quotes the Rambam. Quotes the Rambam Kipshuto. That if a person is Kone Karka Lizman, Bona Bahores. So on the one hand, the Mechaber writes as the Rambam does, Bona Bahores. And here, the Rambam writes, that Dino Kishomer Chinam. The Ktos leaves us at Sarachi and Astira Gluya in the Mechaber. The Chazon Ish points out that one has to limit that which the Rambam writes of bone of Horeis. This Chazon Ish is found in Eben HaEzer and Simen Ayin Dalet Sifkot Tezvor. What does the Rambam mean by bone of Horeis? You can absolutely destroy, right, the field. A person is Kona as subtle as man. You can absolutely destroy the field. Can you sell the field? Can you makdish the field? Of course not. You can destroy the field. Is that really the case? The Chazon Ish writes that certainly that's not what the Rambam means by bone of Horeis. The Chazon Ish distinguishes between that which is done derech hishtamshus as opposed to that which is done derech hashchasa. Let's assume, for example, that you have a particular field. Right? Part of the typical usage of the field is bone of a horeis. You may decide to add something, you may decide to get rid of a particular plant or a tree which is encroaching. All of that which is derech hishtamshus, or derech hana'asa, that is considered to be included, the Rambam writes, in the Mechira. If something, however, is considered to be derech hashchasa, then that certainly is considered to be us, even according to the Rambam. After all, the Rambam writes, ulabasov, and when the end of the term is up, tafsu lebaleo. You have to return the field to him. Poshem Shata Chazon Ish writes, that does not mean that you return a destroyed field. Chazon Ish doesn't feel that there's any stira whatsoever in that sense. And Poshem should answer the Ketzos' kasha. Eino chinami. One could argue that this mocher is dino kisocher or dino kishomer chinam, where he has chiyuv eishmira. Either Rambam writes that you can utilize, if necessary, you can knock down a branch, where one cannot do that if all you have is a kinyan peros. But if you have a kinyan haguf, then that includes, right, bone v'horeis, but the Chazon Ish writes typical binyan, right, but not something which is derech hashchasa, but rather derech hishtamshus. In the Eben Ha'ozon found in Hilchos Shelo Pikadon, Perek Beis Halach Yun Aleph, Professor Zalman suggests the following, that perhaps one can distinguish between karka as opposed to metaltalin. That when is it that the Rambam would allow bone v'horeis? That's when it comes to karka. Because, again, karka is fixed, karka is set. If you have a kinyan lizman of the karka, even if a person will take down a tree, he returns the karka lachar zmano, that is considered to be sufficient. But that certainly is not true when it comes to mitaltlin, when it comes to a behema. A person is kona behema l'shloshim yom, and the first day he shechs it and eats it. So that's part of the description of the mechira. Why did the Mocher limit it to Shloshim Yom if that were to allow for Shchita or Achila? So obviously, when it comes to Mitaltlin, Eben Ozel writes, this would not be true. When it comes to Karka, where the sale is the Gufo Shal Karka, so in such a case, as long as the Karka is returned, the Peros are considered to be Tufel to the Karka. And therefore, even if the Pri or the Eitz is destroyed in such a case, that is not considered to be abusing the Mechira. Mashenk, when it comes to cases, in fact, of Metaltalin. So therefore, as a raya that the Mechaber could paskin both ways, there's no steer necessarily between the Rashi and Arsugya as the Shita Sarambam. Even though that the Rambam does in fact write, the Mechila Zman is considered to be that which is an absolute Mechira. However, if you look in the Rambam, in Perek Beis Halach Yud Aleph of Hilchos Gneiva, the Rambam quotes RK's very different than that of Rashi. Rashi assumes it very simply. When our Gemara says Prat L'Shloshim Yom, we're talking about a Mechira L'Zman Kotsu. An animal is sold for a particular duration of time, that is not considered to be Tavakumah. The Rambam in Beis Yidal quotes our Gemara in a very different way. The Rambam writes, perhaps a different girsa. The Nosei Kelim discussed whether the Rambam just assumed this to be the case, or maybe a different girsa in our Gemara. The Rambam writes the following, that Gonav u'machar and Vikana l'hikna l'mocher, la'achar lamed yom. That's the Ram quotes our Gemara. A person goes ahead and steals an animal, and then he sells it to someone, that the kinyan should be chal la'achar lamed. And all of a sudden now, ubesof lamed hukar haganav. And now, all of a sudden, right within that window of time, as of yet the mechir was not chal. No, the ganav surrenders. So the Rambam writes, "Nu eino mishalim elo kefil. You only pay kefil. You don't pay dalet behei. It was a mechir la'achar zman that never came to fruition. That's mamish a case where it's choseres labal leha before the mechir ever took place." Lech Mishnah writes that that's what the Rambam assumes of our case of lamed yom. Because, as Lech Mishnah points out, you look later in the Gemara, Daf Ayin Chesam Abeis, Rav Yirmiyah raises a very different suffix. What happens if machra chutz mi lamed yom? What if there is a mechira, but there's an exclusion in the mechira? I am selling you this animal, but you know what, for a 30-day period, I want to be able to utilize that animal. Machra chutz lamed yom. That's Rav Yirmiyah Safek. Is that called Kula B'Yisura? Just like Tvicha is all or nothing, maybe Mechira has to be categorical? Or do we assume that's not true? And that is an Abayi Lifshito. That the Gemara leaves as a Safek. So our Gemara writes that Shloshim Yom, that is nothing. That's not even called Shana Bechet. There certainly is no Chiyuv Dalet Behei. Rav Yirmiyah Safek and Daf Ayin Chet is Chutz L'Amid Yom. What exactly is the difference between these sugyas? According to the Chemishna, the difference is the following. That in our Gemara, referring to a case of Mechira La'achar Lamed, where Hukar Haganav Kodem Lamed Yom, in which case the Mechira was not a Mechira whatsoever. The Chemishna comments that Sugya Daf Ayin Chesam Ubeis was Kfar Over Lamed Yom. And now, that behema fully belongs to the Lokeach. So it fully belongs to Lokeach now. But at the time of the Mechira, there was an exclusion. Is that called Kula B'Yisura or is it not? That is the Safek of Rav Yirmiyah. That's Teiku. That's Nabad Lishita. That is not the Milsad Pshita of our Gemara. That is not even called Shana Bechet. We pointed out that Rambam, right, in Beis Yidalf and Beis Yidbeis of Gneva, in terms of the Psak Halacha, the Rambam writes that case of Machra Chutz Lamed Yom, that is the case of Bad Lifshita. And the Rambam writes, how do you paskin? Hamotzmer Chavaraya. And that was the Chiddush of the Rambam, but if Tafas, Lomaf Ginamina, Tfisa works. That was a very great Chiddush of Beis Yedbeis in the Rambam, that Tfisa works not only in a Safek Mama, Tfisa works even in cases of a Safek Knas, and a further Chiddush, even in a case where the Knas is way above and beyond any chiyuv keren, unlike the case of chatzi nezek that we discussed. And that was the proof that the Rambam apparently is assuming that when it comes to dine knasos of tvisa works midaraisa, there must be a pre-existing chiyuv knas independent of hamara bedin and gemar din against the Rabbi Kiveger Makos and Daf Hey, where Rabbi Kiveger suggested, according to Tosos, that until hamara bedin and gemar din there is nothing. And therefore, how could you argue that tefis in fact would work? Okay. The Gemara in Daf Samaches Samad Aleph, just continuing with this case of Mechira Lifnei Yeush, quotes the Machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says that if there's an act of Mechira Kodem Yeush Yerchayim, because the Pasuk says Umachoro and Vazavin. And Rav Sheshes says that you're Potter, just based on what we said, because you require Ahanu Masav. After all, just as when it comes to Tvicha, Ahanu Masav, and therefore it's Nishtaresh Bechet, Hu Hadinami when it comes to Mechira. And therefore Mechira, Lifnei Yeush, is not considered to be Nishtaresh Bechet. And the Gemara continues and says the following, that this is even true according to Rabbi Elazar as well. Rabbi Elazar maintains that the Chiyuv of Dalet Behei is a Mechira which is La'achar Yeush. And on that basis, Rabbi Elazar derives that Stam Geneva is Yeush Bailim. How do you know if that's true? Because the Pasuk says, if Machar, Yerchad Al Behei, and Mechira has to be Dumi de Tvicha. just as Tvicha Zahana Masav, Mechira Zahana Masav, so what about Yeyush? The answer is, Stam Gneva is Yeyush Bali. So Rabbi Elazar agrees with that of Rav Sheshes, that it must be a Mechira Dahana Masav, just as it's a Tvicha Dahana Masav. What exactly do we mean by Ahana Masav? So Tosus assumes, the Tosus and Daf Samachesim and Aleph, it relates back to this line in Samachesim and Beis, but Tosus says the following, Ahanu Masav means Shini Kona. Ahanu Masav doesn't mean that it's a Shechita and therefore you're allowed to eat the animal. Ahanu Masav means the following, that up until this point the animal is the Rishuso of the Ganav, but it's the Shaloh of the Nignav. Al Yedei Tvicha, now it is Shaloh in Rishuso of the Ganav for the Gazlan. It no longer belongs in any shape or form to the original Baal HaChefetz. And why is that true? Because Shinui is Kone. So just as Shinui is Kone, you require a Mechira that results in Kinyan. That is Nishtarish Bechet. That is not just simply Shana Bechet, a mere attempt. So Tosa says, if that is true, don't you see that Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion of Shini Kone? Because if Shini is not Kone, how would you call this a Tvicha Da'ahani Masav? Ahani Masav means it's mafkia that didn't buy them harishonim. Now it's the shalom and brishuso of the ganav. So Tosus now is bothered. How does this fit then with the sugin bava kama daf yir aleph of shomin and ein shomin? Because Shmuel says the following, that ein shomim lo leganav lo legazlin. And Rabbi Elazar disagrees. That's the difficulty. And assumes that shamin leganav ulagazni. Is there any steer at all within the sheet of Rabbi Elazar to assume that yes, shini is kone, but to insist shamin? So that will depend on how you understand that machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar. What exactly does Shmuel mean, ain shamin? What does Rabbi Elazar mean by shamin? So this is a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and the Rashbam. That's the Rashbam and our Tosos. Rashi understands in the Sugya Bava Kama Daf Yud Aleph and Mem Aleph the following, that Ein Shamin means this, that if a ganav or a gazan will steal something, and then that chefetz will deteriorate, it will diminish in its value. Rashi says that Ein Shamin means the following, Yishalim Behema Vekelim Ulim. You have to replace an intact animal comparable to animal that you stole. And here, v'hashvarim shalom. According to Rashi's understanding of ein shamin, that means that you must pay kelim meulim. You must pay with kelim that are in the same condition as when you stole. And if there's any differential, that loss will be borne by the ganav. The Chiddush, according to Rashi, is even though there are times that we assume that Shava Kesef is Hareyu Kekesef, that would not be true when it comes to Gneva or Gzela. We don't assume that the Ganav or the Gazan can give anything. You have to pay Ke'en Shagozal, and if not, then Damim Ba'alma by the Shlomenei. Shava Kesef is not considered to be an option. When it comes to Nezikin, yes, Yoshiv, Rabba Shava Kesef Kekesef. Not when it comes to Gneva, not when it comes to Gzela, and therefore you must pay Kelim Ulim. That is true if you assume that Ein Shamin. Rabbi Elazar disagrees and says, Shamin. What does Shamin mean? Rashi points out that Yachal Yifra Chovam Bipchas. You stole, and then the chafetz is deteriorated. You can utilize that particular chafetz as part of the Tashlume Gneva, as part of the Tashlume Gzela. Shamin and Ein Shamin, according to Rashi, is addressing the Ofen HaPiraon, the method of payment. Am I obligated to pay Kelim Ulim? Or can I utilize these objects, even though it has deteriorated, for the purpose of tashlumin? If that's how you understand the issue, and what about a differential? If I stole something and it was worth 1,000 and now it's worth 100, Rashi assumes that that differential, that hefresh, that is always the responsibility of the ganav or the gazlan. We're not dealing with the amount of payment. We're dealing with the method of payment. According to Rashi, there's no difficulty whatsoever. So why is this based on shini koner, shini eino koner? Does a ganav have to pay kelim ulim, or can a ganav even pay pchas? The Rashbam, however, disagrees. The Rashbam assumes the following. What is the machlokes? Shamin ain shamin. The machlokes in Shmuel Rabbi Elazar. Ain shamin means the following. That there was a decrease in value from the time of the Gneva to the time of the Piraon. Who must bear that loss? So ain shamin means that that loss is borne by the ganav. Shamin, the Chiddush Rabbi Elazar, is that no, that loss is the responsibility of the nigzal. The nigzal loses. It was worth 1,000 before, now it's worth 500. The Baal HaChefetz loses. Why should the Baal HaChefetz lose? Why should you assume shamin that you have to make an assessment and the ganav is only responsible for the differential? If it goes down, however, that is the responsibility of the Baal HaChefetz, the hefresh is al hanigzal. Why should that be? That's the chiddush. That is because shinui eino koneh. That's the basis of Tosfos discussion. If shinui is koneh, so the ganav was kona, and now if the value of the chefetz decreases, deteriorates, that loss is borne by the ganav. Shini kona. If shinui is not kona, so in such a case, it loses value. It was yours, it still is yours, that loss is borne by the nigzal. That's the chiddush of the Rashbam, that Rabbi Elazar shita of shamin is because shinui eino koneh. That is Tosfos Hasdira. How can Rabbi Elazar and our sugya maintain that tvicha ahanimasa means shini is koneh. It's no longer the shiloh of the nigzal. Rabbi Elazar maintains that shinui eino koneh. That's the stira of the Rashbam. The way Rashi learns, there's no stira whatsoever. Shinui could be koneh, and the ganav certainly has to pay up. The only question is can he utilize the pchas as partial payment? That's not a function of shini koneh. But according to the Rashbam, Rabbi Elazar maintains that shini bim koneh is. That is considered to be a problem. So Tosfos suggests the following chiddush, and that is that you have to distinguish between an animal that deteriorates as opposed to tvicha. In a case of Mesa HaBehema, where it's a Shinui Deme'elav, but a Shinui She'ein HaGazlan Osa B'Yadayim, that's when Rabbi Elazar maintains that Shinui is not Koneh. If, however, the Shinui was Al Yedei Maisa, Maisa Shchita, Maisa Tvicha, then Rabbi Elazar maintains that Shinui is Koneh. The chiddush that Tosfos suggests, or Tosfos suggests something which the Baal Tosfos assume is somewhat forced, that maybe a hanamasa does not mean technically shini kona, just means mechastrim in ha'olam. Forget about technically shini yes kona shino kona. The bottom line is lachar shchita, a loss is suffered by the nigzal. It affects the value of the animal. But Baal Shem Shah Tosfos assumes that it doesn't simply mean a hanamasa, there's an effect. It means, technically, shini koneh, you are mafkia a din bailim from the nigzal. That is a function of shini koneh. So that's a fascinating chiddush. Again, the Tosfos mentions that whether shini is koneh or not should depend on whether it was me'elav or whether it was babi yadayim. This lechora relates to what we discussed earlier in terms of how you understand Shinei Kone. Is Shinei Kone comparable to Shinei Rishus, Shinei Maisa, Shinei Hashem? Or do we assume that Shinei Kone just simply means that it's not Osa HaChefetz? Param Chadoshos Ba'olakam. If you assume that Shinei Kone simply means that it is Chefetz Acher, should there be a difference as to whether it was Bamei Elav or the Zbabi Adayim? If one argues, no, that's not necessarily true, that Shinei Kone is Midine HaKinyanim, just like there's a Kinyan of Yesh and Shinei Rishus, or a Kinyan of Shinei Hashem, there's a Kinyan of Shinui. So that's lechora the distinction that Tosus maintains, that a Kinyan must be that which is done through the Gan of Biyadayim, not something which is just simply Ba Me'elav. That would not be Shinei Kone. No, the Chefetz is Nishtana. The Shinei Kone Lahafkia, by the Sari Shon, in order to indicate that you secure Kinyanei Gneva, that has to be, right, a Kinyan that the Ganav will do, as in cases of Shinei Rishus or in cases of Shinei Hashem. And therefore, one could distinguish an Abelazah Shita between those various types of Kinyan. Okay, we'll have to see the Sugya further. We'll pick up tomorrow again with the cases in the Samachesim Abeis, of Tznuim, of Shalot, in Bershusa, Shneim Yachol HaHadrisho. Right, take a look at the Tosus, Samachesim Abeis, Ramask, Ludam, or Kitznuim. Right, and we'll have to again see the sugya at length. If you can, the Tosus also, Samach Tesim and Aleph, right, of Kol Shaloktu, and the Tosus of Kol Hanilkat, right, when Shalot is necessary, when Bershusa is necessary. Right, what exactly is the din binding? Okay, so we'll pick up at this time.